Welcome back, everyone, to United Waste Men. This is our... I don't know why I keep trying to say the number of the episode. I never know. So this is an episode with Ethan Shaw and Ethan Pogue. And we have a guest today. Do you want to introduce him?
We have a very special guest. We have...
We can have him.
One of the members from Michael Bublé.
From the bubble, yes. From the bubble. And we're going to have a bubble episode out soon, too, which will be awesome.
And, you know, he's pretty awesome, but we're gonna go ahead and let Jacob introduce himself. Jacob, go ahead.
So I'm Jacob, part of 1/7 of Michael Bubble.
He sure is. He's a lovely New Brunswickian.
New Brunswicker. Yeah. Newbie one might.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Jacob. What program are you in, you know?
I'm in third year professional communications at Ryerson as well. Moved to Toronto from New Brunswick without ever setting foot in the city.
Amazing. You've never been here
before? No, I spent 6 hours in Pearson at a layover.
Wow. Really? Okay, damn. You just... Shit. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy.
So you really just jumped in there, right?
I really said, fuck it, I don't want to be in a small town anymore.
That's awesome.
So where are you from?
I'm from Mundeville. It's a, like, 200-person town on the east coast of New Brunswick.
And what pronounce it one more time?
Sorry?
What's your town? Can you pronounce it one more time?
Oh, Mundeville?
Mundeville?
Mundeville, yeah. Mundeville. Okay. Like the last name Mundell?
Mundeville. Okay, yeah, and what's Mundeville known for?
Known for?
Yeah, what are you guys known for? What do you guys do out there?
Bro, I don't know.
We don't do much. We leave. We had a Mundeville Winter Carnival when I was young. It was just a man who would set up a campfire and a luge in his backyard.
Nice.
And there was a potluck at the end of the night. That's about it.
Okay, that's awesome. This was a question on here that Pogue wanted to ask. It's kind of...
I want to disrespect you. The questions were meant to be disrespectful. So.
Yeah, I came in here blind knowing I'd be disrespectful.
Yeah, tell us
just a little bit briefly.
Tell us about your successful brothers.
So I am in third year professional communication with no plan of what to do afterwards. However, my eldest brother is an accomplished pilot, and the middle brother just graduated law school.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a lot to live up to.
So, and can you tell us also about your parents? So you're also bilingual because you're from New Brunswick, which is the only bilingual province, but your dad is from...
Yeah, so my dad's from PI. He's from the only French community in PI.
Okay.
So he grew up French, but all the, like, legal system and stuff in PI is English only. And then my mom grew up in New Brunswick in a French town. So towns in New Brunswick alternate French, English, French, English.
Yeah. Okay.
She grew up in the French one. And her mom is from northern New Brunswick, and they don't speak English up there because they're closer to Quebec.
Right.
Which is kind of rough, but whatever.
Yeah.
So I grew up fully French and then learn English later on.
Yeah, when did you learn it? English?
I learned English early enough because my neighbors were English and they would babysit us and then they'd make fun of me because I couldn't speak English yet with my brothers who could speak English at that time. So I like took it upon myself to learn English by myself earlier.
So you only spoke French at home?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, because you speak English very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, lady at No Frills didn't think so. She called me out of my accent. But
your accent pops out on certain words, I find.
Yeah, there's
certain words, not all the time. Like,
But you can't really tell that it's you don't have a French accent.
I just know that like French is like your first language simply because when you count, you speak French.
Yeah.
Like numbers. Your brain goes to French.
Well, and your phone is all in French, right?
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah. Your phone is also all in French. More disrespectful questions if you don't mind me getting in there. So how close were you to being an exchange student?
Fuck you. I got accepted into the exchange program, accepted by my host university.
And what year did you get accepted?
So I got accepted in April of 2019 is when I got my acceptance letter.
So April 2019, so you went all of 2019 thinking like, oh, I'm so excited for exchange.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go to Belgium.
You were going to where?
I was going to Ghent in Belgium.
And what school were you going to be like, kind
of? Archibald Hogg School of Applied Arts.
Okay, that sounds cool. And were you going with any friends or just by yourself?
Yeah, we were two of us. We were four of us going to Ghent.
Yeah.
One that I know quite well. It was she's my close friend, Cadence.
Oh yes, Cadence.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So no, that's lovely. So you were set up in April of 2019. It was set up that you were gonna go to Ghent in Belgium with three other friends, one including Cadence.
Yes.
And then can you tell us why you're here with Ethan Shaw and Ethan Pogue, United Ways for them?
Yeah, well, just to finish up the introduction but I guess we invited him. That's why he's here. He feels bad for us, so he's gonna be a guest. Okay, so our first main discussion we want to have with you, Jacob, is about this was something that was started yesterday, and it's your excursion on dating apps, right?
Yeah.
Which is Tinder.
I had a very strong brand going about a month ago. You know, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, and I wasn't on dating apps.
Yeah, his ideals were strong.
Yeah, you know?
He was a respectable man.
He's been broken.
And then Ethan Pogue moved into my house. In the span of 1 month, everything changed.
Yeah, yeah.
So is Tinder your first use of a dating app?
Yeah.
You never used a Hinge or a Bumble?
Never. I swiped on Sonia's before.
Christian Mingle.
God. You're gonna do Hinge, but then we decided Tinder was better, right?
Tinder was
probably
better.
Alex wanted to make you a profile, and we ended up doing Tinder.
I think I made a strong point that you want to start with Tinder.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. It's simple.
It's simple, yeah. Yes. I find that if you're using Hinge, it's because Bumble didn't work out. And if you're using
Think Hinge is just more for more. Hinge is more serious, right? It's for more you're trying to get into a real relationship, and Tinder is.
Jacob's turning 22 soon. He doesn't need that right now.
Well, it's also a pandemic. He can't really do anything.
It's a lover lockdown.
Yeah. Jacob, what are you looking for in a woman?
In a woman.
What do you look for in a partner?
Yeah, when you're swiping through Tinder. I know we helped you out yesterday. Yeah. Probably too much. what would be your ideal woman?
Oh, fuck, eh? right now I'm just using Tinder to learn how to talk to girls. That's my main.
Oh, true. I guess we should start.
You said learn. I thought he was about to say look at women. Word.
Yeah, for sure.
What do I look for in a girl? Probably more than I can gauge on Tinder. Now I feel awkward.
We can skip over it.
We can go to a harder one.
No. I'll answer the question.
Okay.
I guess she's got to be smart and have the same sense of humor as I do.
Yeah.
Because I don't just want to talk about random gossip and drama all the time.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah.
But also, be willing to do stuff. Be willing to. I'm very outdoorsy, so be willing to go on hikes and stuff like that. Keep up.
Definitely. Adventurous woman.
Yes, for sure. Exactly.
Yes. For sure.
Yes.
I hear you.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Those are definitely important things, and I hope you can find that on Tinder. I guess that's what we're trying to get into. Sequel, so, talking to women.
Mm.
What is the scariest part of that for you?
Yeah, what frames you about speaking to women? Because, I understand it, but, what for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's things about women that scare us all, but, what is the specific thing? Is there one thing, or is there a couple things? Or?
Probably a couple. I guess for me, if we're to gauge on past experiences, I'm a sworn veteran of the friend zone.
Mm.
So I just go in assuming that that's my rightful place of honor, you know?
You're just going to get caught.
Yeah. So I don't usually go in with higher hopes.
Oh.
Or if I go in with higher hopes, I get knocked down quickly.
Mm.
So for me, it's a confidence on my side more than...
Is it just the confidence, or is it just
have you ever thought about not giving the girl friendship if she doesn't give you what you want? Because I don't think that's dawned on you yet.
Sometimes,
because every time, because
when she shoots you down, you can just be all right, don't talk to
see
me ever
later
again.
Yeah,
you don't have to say that, you just do it.
Yeah.
Well, friendship can sometimes work.
Friendship is great, but I feel like you have friends.
I have ample friends.
I feel like you have friends.
Yeah.
You don't have a girlfriend.
Okay, so it's the scariest thing is that you don't want to risk getting shot down necessarily, so you accept the friend zone?
Because, like,
how many times would you say have you been shot down?
Have I been shot down?
Yeah, how many shots would you say
that? But it's the shot isn't necessarily even being taken because he's accepting the friend zone.
Right? I know, but, like, that means he had been, like, he had to get shot down to accept the friend zone, right?
No, but I think he's skipping over the being shot down. Oh. Going, is that correct?
So sometimes, it depends. Like, sometimes I've been shot down. Other times, I just am able to read the situation and accept my spot.
Okay, well,
you find the door that says friend zone.
Yeah. Like five.
So you wouldn't say that you're a ruthless, like, shot taker?
No, absolutely not.
Do you remember a great quote by a really famous hockey player? I believe it's by Wayne Gretzky.
It is Gretzky, right?
Yeah.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
I think it's Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott?
But Michael Scott did say that, yes.
Did he say it, or did he mess it up?
Michael Scott, it's... You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Quote Wayne Gretzky. Quote Michael Scott.
Oh, that's fucking.
So, like, would you say that, like, you're like, in the past, have you taken shots?
I have, yeah.
And how do you find your strategy has played out?
Is the strategy has simply been accept the friend zone, or is there more to the strategy?
I don't think there's a strategy at all at this point.
I think you had a good idea that one time when you were telling me that you asked the girl to go out and get some food. I think Alex gave some good advice. Like, don't ask her on a date. Just ask her to get some food.
Yeah.
Right? And then when you asked to go get food, she said, is this a date? And then you said, yes.
So she said, I'd love to. And then she said, wait, can I ask a question? Is this a date? And I said, I'd like it to be. And she said, well, JK, never mind.
Really? Oh, really?
Women are the worst.
God, yeah. Brutal, man. It's okay. You just gotta shake that one off.
Would you have paid for that meal if you went?
Probably.
You would have had to, man. Yeah. If she accepted the date.
Yeah, it's your idea.
Yeah.
So, did you find that situation that, like, were you, like, was that, like, a girl you were interested in? And did you feel like you had an opportunity where you could have been successful? Or do you think, like, she...
Yeah, I definitely thought I could have been successful. Which is why I shot my shot, because usually I don't go for high risk percentages. Turns out I was incorrect.
Okay. But that's good. Yeah. That's good. At least you try.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the very few times you shot your shot, or, like, has there been opportunities in the past?
No, it's one of few, but...
One of few.
Yeah, there's been more. They've all ended the same way so far.
So have you found that there's, like, a difference, like, in, like, shooting your shot... Like, in your university career versus your hometown high school career?
Yeah, definitely. Because hometown, I graduated with, 63 people. There are 267 kids in my high school when I graduated. So you all know each other since childhood, right? So that's a very different approach to it, because they all have this built-up perspective of you since the beginning.
Yeah. It's hard to break out of that, for sure. Okay. But
so
yeah,
you were interested in anybody from high school, like, no shots were taken in high school?
Not really. Not to girls in my high school.
She goes to a different school, bro.
Yeah, you wouldn't know her. She goes to a different school.
she's from the States. But, like, yeah, I think it's probably hard to always shoot your shot stone sober, too. Right? Like, that's hard. Yeah. Right? As if you never get to have, a beer, that can really make it easier to shoot a shot.
It definitely gives you more confidence, I would say, but
it eases the nerves.
It definitely does ease the nerves, but I think, like, one of the best advice I ever got was, like, when it comes to talking to girls, like, kind of, like, fake the confidence before you have it. And, like, for a long time, like, beer helped me with that.
When
I was in high school, like, and we would go to, like, a party or something like that, like, I wasn't talking to those girls in class. There was no way, unless they had the answers to the math questions.
Yeah.
They were not a part of my day.
Beer kind of just, like, helps build it, I guess. But there's definitely a way that you don't need to have beer.
So
I guess it just, like, part of it is kind of like eventually realizing that you can take a shot, and if you miss,
It's okay.
It's fine. Yeah, it's okay.
It's nothing against you.
And I feel like Tinder's going to help with that.
Yeah. Mm.
See, the last one, I was like, you know what? I'm ready to, like, start shooting shots. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, ah, great. I've met zero people for 8 months now.
Tinder will help, man, because, yeah, it's the, like, getting the reps in.
Yeah.
Will help build that,
That's
right?
a great, great usage of words. That's very true.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah, just gotta keep building that repertoire. Mm-hmm. You need to be good. So,
the other question...
That'll be exciting to do.
We have listed here, because we don't know what kind of guy you are, but
is
one woman enough for Jacob? Like, how about two? Like,
is that are you gonna be able to build a roster? Is
it like, are you a guy that's gonna be interested in having like a starting lineup of like five girls you routinely talk to, and then having some fallback girls if like they're not available, or is this gonna be a situation where you put all your eggs in one basket?
I usually put all my eggs in one basket. Mm. Yes,
I think that might be a mistake, and I think the reason
both of our eggs are all in one basket, right?
I know, but there's there's John was about to say some wild shit. No, but I think the reason that I say this, man, is because like that increases your percentage of shot taking, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you put all your eggs in one basket, and she says like, "Oh, wait, Jacob, is this a date?" Like, it can be kind of soul crushing, right?
Yeah.
But if a girl shoots you down, then you should know you should scroll down to Stephanie on the second page.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, if you find a girl you really like, then yeah, obviously mm-hmm. put all the eggs in one basket. But if you're just practicing,
yeah,
right, then like that's when you like diversify a bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, diversify your portfolio. Yeah. You know, like if you have like stocks, you don't want just all one stock.
Well, you just have to practice and in practicing, that's where the confidence is built. And at that point, keep it diverse just so you build the confidence, and then eventually when it comes to something you like, a girl you really like, then you'll have the confidence to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then once you get good enough, like Talia's, you can string together like a parlay and do a three-peat.
Talia's on another level, man. That's expert level. You'll get there eventually. Oh my god,
that's hilarious. But yeah, so Tinder, you're using it more often.
Probably out of boredom for the time being, yeah, and out of practice.
That'll help. Yeah,
it'll be practice. The shooting range.
Yeah,
for sure. Also, like, just like a hint of advice, like, generally, like, you want to take it from Tinder messaging, and if you do like them, like, just get the Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
That usually, like,
move
it's quick. Like the right move. You don't want to really do the number because then you have to like text them.
Well, but girls like it better if
you
the
text.
Number.
Yeah, yeah, girls prefer the number.
Mm.
Yeah, but if you don't care about their feelings, then.
But maybe you should. All right, we can move on from that because we've grilled you enough on that. But it was a fun topic to get into. So I guess this is kind of like just a bit of like a school thing. So like initially you went to York. Mm-hmm. What why'd you choose York, and then why'd you leave?
So I was really looking to get out of New Brunswick. All my friends who went to University of Moncton, except for one who went to UNB, which is the all in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
So I applied to UBC, and then I saw... Yeah, I applied to UBC, a bad call, a media production program that had 40 spots and 38 were reserved for kids from BC.
Oh, God.
So I did not get in.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then I saw an ad for York on Instagram, and then I started doing research into York, and York is a really highly rated school. What they don't tell you is that they're highly rated for their graduate programs rather than their undergrad. So I was in communication studies, and then I asked a fourth-year communication studies student. I was like, "Oh, do you have like application projects?" And she's like, "No, we just write two essays per year." I was like, "Ah, that sounds horrible." And then York went on strike.
That's right.
Yeah. So I was like all there for the strike. You know, I was like, a second reading week.
Tell me if I'm wrong on this. Was York the only university that striked with the colleges at the time?
No. So York didn't strike with the colleges.
Was it around the same time, was it not?
So the college strike ended and the York strike started like 2 or 3 weeks after.
Oh.
Because there was Seneca College on York campus that I remember was striking.
Oh.
And then York, there was talk of a strike. And when the strike started, we all thought it was going to be like a week or two. So we were all hyped for like another reading week.
No doubt. Yeah.
But then it turned out to be the longest university strike in Canadian history.
How long did it go on?
It started in like right after midterms. So that'd be around this time, February, maybe early March. And it lasted until July.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at that point, they told us you can either write a final exam or take the mark that you have right now. And I had all A's and A pluses, so I just took my marks and left.
Yeah.
But yeah, so to get the title of longest university strike in Canada, they beat themselves, but in 2008. So it seems like a recurring theme. Maybe I'll leave.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And but did you just think the Ryerson program would be more suited to what you wanted? Yeah.
So I had an internship at an Italian film festival, and one day we were going from our main office to our downtown box office, and a girl from Ryerson Procom third year was in the car with us, and she was just really hyping it up. So I did research into it, and the Ryerson Procom professional communications program is really, I don't know the word in English, but like there's a limit of seats that you can have.
So it's like exclusive, you mean?
Yeah, like sports media and creative industries as well. Like there's a limit of people that they accept.
There's a cap.
Yeah.
So I was like, ah, shit, I don't know if I'll get in, but...
There was no cap at York?
No, there's no cap at York, no. Oh. But there is one at Ryerson. I think Procom's acceptance rate was like 10% or something like that. So I just applied for the fun of it, and I got in.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Damn. So why Procom?
Because I don't know what I want to do with my life. But yeah, Procom's a really wide program, and I knew I wanted to go into like communication fields. I'm taking a minor in marketing, which I thought I wanted to get into first and second year, but as third year goes on, I'm seeing that I want to go less into marketing, so I'll just finish my minor for fun. And then I'm thinking a lot of like journalism reporting right now. I'd love to work for like a science communication organization, like National Geographic would be
that'd be really cool.
Yeah, but we'll see how to get there. Yeah.
100%.
That'd be really awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would, for National Geographic, what type of stuff would you want to do? Like writing or like,
yeah, so
part
I,
of like actually like filming or taking photos?
So usually the writers for the published National Geographic magazine that they publish monthly is also the photojournalism for that article.
Okay, cool.
So I would really enjoy writing, or working on the documentary side for like TV docs and stuff
yeah,
like
that.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Yeah, that'd be so cool.
That'd be super dope.
Well, that's awesome.
Is there anything about your program that you don't like?
Yeah. There are some classes that just seem like irrelevant to everything that we're doing. Like I'm in a mandatory communications class right now that's all about artificial intelligence.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, it's really uninteresting. To all of us, but
is the prof really involved in that class? Like, does the prof really care about AI?
Oh, so the prof started the class by saying, "I don't know anything about AI. So I'm just gonna be learning along with you guys."
Oh,
and
no.
I thought, just be a student then, not a professor.
That's not good.
Yeah,
that's
so good. So that's where we're at.
That's what they're doing to us in pandemic times.
Yeah.
You want to teach the AI class? Like, I know you like just got here, but
she just posts pictures of her dog on her D2L.
So what did you find was like the biggest difference in like the culture, I guess, between York and Ryerson, and like I guess the people?
Mm-hmm. York had a really active student life. Their frosh was much bigger, and there was a lot of different residences, so you got to, it was always like new people and bigger parties, whereas Ryerson only has two residences. So the student life on campus was much more intimate. Like you got to know people much closer.
Yeah.
But there's also less like school-wide organized activities for student life that included people off res, right?
Yeah.
Whereas York had all these like almost monthly or weekly activities going on.
Damn. Word. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ryerson used to have cooler concerts, right? Like they've had Future before, they've had Drake.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to have Miguel one year, but then he canceled.
We got Tori.
We did. Yeah, I guess they did. They did organize that. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We've done some things. We also had our first HOKO, in Ryerson history. We did the hockey game.
Yeah, we did do that.
In our first year.
But Ryerson's definitely smaller for that kind of stuff. For sure.
Ryerson's also much more of a commuter school. Yeah. So there's not a lot of people off or on campus after school hours.
Yeah, no,
true. That is true.
Also, our campus is really small.
Yeah.
It's only two or three blocks. We're just vertical. We're not horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. But it was cool. It was cool that in first year that we all, like, our floor was kind of close-knit.
Yeah, cool. Our floor was definitely close-knit in first year.
What do you miss most about university party life, Jacob?
I wasn't the biggest for university party life because I was always sober. And I had this discussion with our other roommate just yesterday. She was saying how she missed 405 parties, which were like the biggest parties in res. And she's like, why did you never enjoy them, Jacob? And I was like, could you do that sober though?
I could barely do it when I was drunk.
Yeah.
It was just so warm in there. And it was
very congested, super sweaty, like everyone's rowdy as shit.
Yeah, it was. I don't miss 405 parties.
But I do miss, I feel like I met someone new almost every day or every week.
Yeah.
When student party life was going on.
Yeah, I even liked that when we had class and you could talk to people in your program that you didn't know that well.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that was fun.
Even just having like in class experiences, like, you don't really get that anymore. Like you can't like walk in the class and like see like your friends that you have and like how like share a laugh before like the class starts or something like that.
Yeah.
And tell each other about like your weekends. Like now that it's like Zoom, you like log in and you don't get that opportunity to control that social atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. And it was great when we could have parties too. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 and 2 parties were fun.
Yeah, yeah. I loved the Halloween one especially. It was awesome.
Yes.
I'm still pissed about the Halloween party.
Why?
Do you not know the Chloe Chang story?
Oh, yes.
Run it.
Tell us.
So, okay, our roommate has a friend called Chloe Chang. Chloe Chang's pretty sick. She's a cool girl.
Yeah,
what do you mean sick? What do you mean cool?
Hey, we don't have to incriminate him.
No, incriminate him. Tell him. She cute?
Cute. Yeah,
all right, buddy.
And then, so our roommate, who was hosting the Halloween party at not her house.
At your house.
Yes,
She
was hosting.
She kept saying that Chloe Chang was going to be present at the Halloween party. And I was like, okay, that's pretty sick. I have a midterm the day after Halloween, though, so I'm probably not going to stay too late. So I get to the Halloween party, say hello, hang out for like an hour or so. And then our roommate comes up to me. She's like, oh, Chloe Chang can't make it. Like, she's busy with another Halloween adventure or whatever. I was like, okay, that's my call. I'll see you all tomorrow. And I left. And then a few days later, I go to 212 Milan Street, and I look on the fridge, and there are Polaroids from the Halloween party. And lo and behold, Chloe Chang is in the Polaroids, and I miss her by like half an hour.
That is brutal, man.
Since that day, there's been like 4 other times when Talia has asked me to hang out and said that Chloe Chang's not going to be there, and then I can't make it, and Chloe Chang shows up.
Just like a series of unfortunate interactions.
It's just that's for super unlucky, man.
Jacob's like probably the most unlucky dude when it comes to women. He's probably the most unlucky dude I know.
Oh man, he has to embody the luck, man. So we're gonna make that happen.
Simply down.
That Halloween party was crazy though, man. I remember we like had to like collect ourselves.
We had a moment
for a while.
We had a moment
because we had already had a fair amount of beers, and then you had ordered a 2-4 Corona that showed up like halfway through the night.
Yeah.
And then we drank most of that as well.
We easily just could have stocked up on beer at the beer store and brought it home.
But
We wanted to order beers to come when we wanted them.
It was more exciting that way.
It was more exciting. We were so hyped when the beers came.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The guy didn't even showed up. He's like, you're already drunk, so it doesn't matter. Just take it.
Oh my god. I remember though, like, we didn't think anyone was gonna come because by 10:30 no one was there until 10:30.
By 10:30 we were hammered and
drunk. No one was there until 10:30 people started showing up, and then by 11, maybe 11:30 people were there. And it was
a few people showed up to like start like hang out with Talia and like kind of do like a girls thing, get ready before like the party like really started. And we were really drunk, so we went down to your room to like collect ourselves like the first time.
Yeah.
And then when we came back up, there was like quite a few people.
Yeah, man.
And then by the time there was like 60 people in our tiny apartment.
That was the best one we had.
That was the best party we had.
Halloween's a easy party to get people to come to.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be involved on Halloween.
Yeah, for sure. Whenever we can do another Halloween party, we have to do
a Halloween party. That's like solid. 100%. Do we have any?
I don't think we have anything else written down.
This would be a nice, tight little like 30-minute episode, though. Easy for me to edit.
Yeah, for sure.
Put those together. Any concluding thoughts?
Yeah, Jacob. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? I think we've exhausted our
questions.
No, I didn't have a repertoire coming in. So
yeah, fair.
We really grilled you, though. I think
sorry, but we did. Like, I hope it was an enjoyable.
Yeah, I want people to know the setup is Ethan's. Both the Ethans on one mic, staring me down at the end of the table.
Tell us about your successful brothers.
Oh, that's brutal, man. Oh god. Anyway, man, thank you for coming on.
I enjoyed being on.
We appreciate it for sure.
Yeah,
this has been United Waste, man.
I'm Ethan Pogue
and I'm Ethan Shaw. We'll see you guys next week.